Hello, welcome to the Jimmy James Show, A to Z. Now before we begin, you probably notice I'm an English chap. We have proper nouns and pronunciations and what have you. You know, like tea for the queen and a biscuit, or maybe I can go smoke a fag, or would you like a cuppa? Either way, to me I'm English through and through. And now I'm stuck with you. So as we go forth and beyond on our new journey with Jimmy James and his brilliant show. First must admit he is one American that has the talent to be the most fabulous podcaster there is, and I'm even talking about for British standards. And as you already know yourself, even for a stupid American, British standards are the highest quality. So cheerio Chuck and all that. You can make fun of me, but don't say we English cannot pick our talent even if it is in what we call you stupid fat Americans. I'm sorry, I mean to say America, fat America. Oh, how rude of me. Well, from here on out I will mind my manners and see how the rest of this goes. Now as the wind blows and as the mighty shows, we British men must always show we are the bigger men, even to you thick-headed Americans. Well, this is Johnny English and I am saying goodbye for now, and like always, take care of one another or each other, however that dumb American podcaster says it.
Now time to explain to people just what's wrong with me.
Yay!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Thought about what you said to me the other day about my painting. Stayed up half the night thinking about it. Something occurred to me. I fell into a deep, peaceful sleep and haven't thought about you since. You know what occurred to me?
No.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
So if I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. You know a lot about him. Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? But you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. Seen that. If I ask you about women, you'll probably give me a silver, say your personal favorites. You may have even been laid a few times. You can't tell me what it feels like to wake up next to a woman and feel truly happy. You're a tough kid. When I ask you about war, you probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. But you've never been near one. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watch him gasp his last breath looking to you for help. I ask you about love, probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Known someone that could level you with her eyes. Feeling like God put an angel on earth just for you. Who could rescue you from the depths of hell. And you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel. To have that love for her be there forever. Through anything. Through cancer. And you wouldn't know about sleeping, sitting up in a hospital room for 2 months, holding her hand. Because the doctors could see in your eyes that the terms visiting hours don't apply to you. You don't know about real loss. Because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself. I doubt you've ever dared to love anybody that much. I look at you. I don't see an intelligent, confident man. I see a cocky, scared, shitless kid. But you're a genius, Will. No one denies that. No one could possibly understand the depths of you. But you presume to know everything about me because you saw a painting of mine. You ripped my fucking life apart. You're an orphan, right? Do you think I'd know the first thing about how hard your life has been, how you feel, who you are? Because I read Oliver Twist. Does that encapsulate you? Personally, I don't give a shit about all that, because you know what? I can't learn anything from you I can't read in some fucking book. Unless you want to talk about you, who you are. And I'm fascinated. I'm in. But you don't want to do that, do you, Sport? You're terrified of what you might say. You move, Chief.
Two words in the English language more harmful than good job.
You see, in this world, there's two kinds of people, my friend. Those with loaded guns and those who dig. You dig.
When you have to shoot, shoot. Don't talk.
Shut up, pussy. What is all this bro shit, anyway? Want to be Super Spade or something? These guys don't want to be your bro, and I don't blame them.
You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
I am gonna kill Bill.
Why so serious?
You talking to me? You talking to me? You talking to me? Who the hell else are you talking? Talking to me?
I'll be back.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You ain't heard nothing yet. Wait a minute, I tell you. You ain't heard nothing.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I'm gonna make him an offer again with you.
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I see dead people.
It's alive!
Vem är du?
Jag är döden.
That they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The stuff that dreams are made of.
Huh?
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world. She walks into mine.
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Hey! What's the matter? I'm walking here! I'm walking here!
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Badges? We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn...
I don't give a shit.
Dirty ape! You shall not pass!
Are you not entertained?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
I'm Spartacus!
I'm Spartacus!
Attica! Attica!
Bond. James Bond.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
No. I am the father.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
What's the most you ever lost on a coin toss?
Sir?
The most you ever lost on a coin toss.
That was Mozart.
Ricky Springfield, the buddy of mine.
I drink your milkshake.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
They call it Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese.
That's right.
Do you like apples?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
May the force be with you.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Well, we used to look up in the sky and wonder at our place in the stars. Now we just look down. Worry about our place in the dirt.
All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain.
Get busy living, you get busy dying.
Hate is baggage. Life's too short to be pissed off all the time. It's just not worth it.
But life, finds a way.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Run, Forrest, run!
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
When life gets you down, you know what you gotta do?
I don't wanna know what you gotta do.
Just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, swimming, swimming.
You will always remember this as the day that you almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow.
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
That greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
Precious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Say hello to my new friend!
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
E.T. Home phone.
What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down.
Rosebud.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Buongiorno, principessa.
Me so horny.
You keep lying.
Me love you long time.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Here's Johnny.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Nobody's perfect.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Oh, no. It wasn't the airplanes. It was beauty killed the beast.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
We all go a little mad sometimes.
The horror. The horror.
You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. Instead of a bum, which is what I am.
You can't handle the truth!
Yeah, Jake, it's Chinatown. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat.
Yo, Adrian! Adrian!
Hey, Ray. Never went down, Ray. Never got me down, Ray.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
We robbed banks.
See, Red, I got issues with white folks, too.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
I'm the king of the world!
I am not an animal! I am a human being!
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Hasta la vista, baby.
In case I don't see ya. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Alright, guys, that was some of the best movie lines. Some of them there were from the first one, whose line is it, that were dubbed over. But, like usual, a lot of these come on, I get them a lot from YouTube, you know, I have to look a lot of them up that I like, but anyway, we'll get on, I wanted to share one of these, this is my favorite, this is about 20 minutes long, so after this is the bonus, stay tuned right after this Anchor commercial, sponsor, whatever, is it a commercial or a sponsor, we'll figure it out, alright guys. Be right back.
You ain't gonna believe this. Well, you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's gonna be the best kid in the world. This kid's gonna be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching every day. It was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that! I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Rehabilitated? Well, now, let me see. You know, I don't have any idea what that means.
Well, it means you're ready to rejoin society.
I know what you think it means, Sonny. To me, it's just a made-up word. A politician's word, so that young fellas like yourself can wear a suit and a tie and have a job. What do you really want to know? Am I sorry for what I did?
Well, I am.
As not a day goes by, I don't feel regret. Not because I'm in here, because you think I should. I look back on the way I was then. A young, stupid kid who committed that terrible crime. I want to talk to him. I want to try to talk some sense to him. Tell him the way things are. But I can't. That kid's long gone, and this old man is all that's left. I gotta live with that. Rehabilitated? It's just a bullshit word. So you go on and stamp your form, Sonny, and stop wasting my time. Because to tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Why is America
not the greatest country in the world, Professor? That's my answer.
You're saying...
Yes.
Let's talk about...
Fine. Sharon, the NEA is a loser. Yeah, it accounts for a penny out of her paycheck, but he gets to hit you with it anytime he wants. It doesn't cost money. It costs votes. It costs airtime and column inches. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If liberals are so fucking smart, how come they lose so goddamn always?
Hey.
And with a straight face, you're going to tell students that America is so star-spangled awesome that we're the only ones in the world who have freedom? Canada has freedom. Japan has freedom. The UK, France, Italy, Germany, Spain, Australia, Belgium has freedom. So 207 sovereign states in the world, like 180 of them have freedom.
All right.
And yeah, you, sorority girl, just in case you accidentally wander into a voting booth one day, there's some things you should know. And one of them is there is absolutely no evidence to support the statement that we're the greatest country in the world. We're 7th in literacy, 27th in math, 22nd in science, 49th in life expectancy, 178th in infant mortality, 3rd in median household income, number 4 in labor force, and number 4 in exports. We lead the world in only 3 categories. Number of incarcerated citizens per capita, number of adults who believe angels are real, and defense spending, where we spend more than the next 26 countries combined, 25 of whom are allies. Now, none of this is the fault of a 20-year-old college student, but you nonetheless are, without a doubt, a member of the worst period generation period ever, period. So when you ask what makes us the greatest country in the world, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Yosemite? Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one.
what's been wrong with me for 19 years. I've been a witness, and I tell you, I've been complicit. I love you, Steve. You know how much. I love that you don't care how much money a person makes. You care what they make. But what you make isn't supposed to be the best part of you. When you're a father, that's what's supposed to be the best part of you. And it's caused me 2 decades of agony, Steve, that it is for you. The worst. It's a little thing. It's a very small thing. Fix it. Fix it now. Or you can contact me at my new job, working anywhere I want.
I'm sorry, Will.
You know what? Actually, this works out better for me. You know, as slim as a summer come to class wearing next to nothing. You know what I'm
Will,
saying?
Will, it's all right to be angry.
Hey, why should I be mad? I'm saying, at least he said goodbye this time. I just wish I hadn't wasted my money buying this stupid present.
I'm sorry. If there was something that I
could. Hey, you know what? You ain't got to do nothing, Uncle Phil. Hey, you know, ain't like I'm still 5 years old, you know? Ain't like I'm going to be sitting up every night asking my mom, when's daddy coming home, you know? Who needs him? Hey, he wasn't there to teach me how to shoot my first basket, but I learned, didn't I? Hey, I got pretty damn good at it too, didn't I,
yeah,
Uncle Phil?
You did.
Got through my first day without him, right? Mm. I learned how to drive. I learned how to shave. I learned how to fight without him. I had 14 great birthdays without him. He never even sent me a damn card. To hell with him! I ain't need him then, and I don't need him now.
Will.
Now, you know what, Uncle Phil? I'm going to get through college without him. I'm going to get a great job without him. I'm going to marry me a beautiful honey, and I'm going to have me a whole bunch of kids. I'm going to be a better father than he ever was. And I sure as hell don't need him for that, because ain't a damn thing he could ever teach me about how to love my kids.
You know, we're sitting here. You and I are like a couple of regular fellas. You do what you do. I do what I got to do. And now that we've been face to face, if I'm there and I gotta put you away, I won't like it. But I'll tell you, if it's between you and some poor bastard whose wife you're gonna turn into a widow, brother, you are going down.
Of course, machines can't think as people do. A machine is different from a person, since they think differently. The interesting question is, just because something thinks differently from you, does that mean it's not thinking? No, we allow for humans to have such divergences from one another. You like strawberries. I hate ice skating. You cry at sad films. I am allergic to pollen. What is the point of different tastes, different preferences, if not to say that our brains work differently, that we think differently? And if we could say that about one another, then why can't we say the same thing for brains built of copper and wire, steel?
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes till the biggest battle of our professional lives all comes down to today. Either we heal as a team or we're gonna crumble. Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. 1 inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I look around, I see these young faces, and I think, I mean, I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. I pissed away all my money, believe it or not. I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in the mirror. You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the f-ing difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's gonna win that itch. And I know if I'm gonna have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now, I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now, I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're gonna do the same for him. That's a team, gentlemen. And either we heal now as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is. Now, what are you going to do?
Here's one of my favorite monologues, actually from a movie I have not seen through and through, but just because of this monologue, I wanted to see the movie, so here it is.
You've been accused of practicing medicine without a license. It's a very grave charge, son. Are you aware that it's unlawful to practice medicine without a medical license?
Yes, sir, I am.
Are you aware that running a medical clinic without the proper licensing can place both you and the public in a great deal of danger?
Is a home a clinic, sir?
If you are admitting patients and treating them, physical location is irrelevant.
Yes, sir. Will you define treatment for me?
Yes, treatment would be defined as the care of a patient seeking medical attention. Have you been treating patients, Mr. Adams?
Well, sir, I live with several people. They come and go as they please. I offer them whatever help I can.
Mr. Adams, have you or have you not been treating patients at your ranch?
Everyone who comes to the ranch is a patient, yes. And every person who comes to the ranch is also a doctor.
I'm sorry.
Every person who comes to the ranch is in need of some form of physical or mental help. They're patients. But also every person who comes to the ranch is in charge of taking care of someone else. Whether it's cooking for them, cleaning them, or even a simple task as listening. That makes them doctors. I use that term broadly, gentlemen, but is not a doctor someone who helps someone else? When did the term doctor get treated with such reverence as, oh, right this way, Dr. Smith, or excuse me, Dr. Scholes, what wonderful footpads, or pardon me, Dr. Patterson, but your flatulence has no odor. At what point in history did a doctor become more than a trusted and learned friend who visited and treated the ill? Now, you ask me if I've been practicing medicine. Well, if this means opening your door to those in need, those in pain, caring for them, listening to them, applying a cold cloth until a fever breaks, if this is practicing medicine, if this is treating a patient, then I am guilty as charged, sir.
Did you consider the ramifications of your actions? What if one of your patients had died?
What's wrong with death, sir? What are we so mortally afraid of? Why can't we treat death with a certain amount of humanity and dignity and decency and, God forbid, maybe even humor? Death is not the enemy, gentlemen. If we're going to fight a disease, let's fight one of the most terrible diseases of all, indifference. Now, I've sat in your schools and heard people lecture on transference and professional distance. Transference is inevitable, sir. Every human being has an impact on another. Why don't we want that in a patient-doctor relationship? That's why I've listened to your teachings, and I believe they're wrong. A doctor's mission should be not just to prevent death, but also to improve the quality of life. That's why you treat a disease, you win, you lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you'll win. Now, here today, this room is full of medical students. Don't let them anesthetize you. Don't let them numb you out to the miracle of life. Always live in awe of the glorious mechanism of the human body. Let that be the focus of your studies and not a quest for grades, which will give you no idea what kind of doctor you will become.
Mr. Adams, please turn
and don't
address
wait
the
till you're on the ward to get your humanity back. Start your interviewing skills now. Start talking to strangers. Talk to your friends. Talk to wrong numbers. Talk to everyone.
Mr. Adams.
And cultivate friendships with those amazing people standing in the back of the room. Nurses, they can teach you. They've been with people every day. They wade through blood and shit. They have a wealth of knowledge to share with you. And so do the professors you respect. The ones who are not dead from the heart up. Share their compassion. Let that be contagious.
Mr. Adams, I demand that you turn and address the board.
Sir, I want to be a doctor with all my heart. I wanted to become a doctor so I could serve others. And because of that, I've lost everything. But I've also gained everything. I've shared the lives of patients and staff members at the hospital. I've laughed with them. I've cried with them. This is what I want to do with my life. And as God is my witness, no matter what your decision today, sir, I will still become the best damn doctor the world has ever seen. Now, you have the ability to prevent me from graduating. You can keep me from getting the title and the white coat. But you can't control my spirit, gentlemen. You can't keep me from learning. You can't keep me from studying. So you have a choice. You could have me as a professional colleague, passionate, or you can have me as an outspoken outsider, still adamant. Either way, I'll probably still be viewed as a thorn. But I promise you one thing. I am a thorn that will not go away.
Is that all?
I hope not, sir.
We will adjourn briefly.
This is a hearing into the matter of Private Desmond Doss. The charge is disobeying a series of direct orders from his commanding officer. How says the defendant?
Private Doss wishes to enter a not guilty plea.
Is that so, Private? I thought this was agreed. You wanted to enter some sort of plea bargain.
Yes, sir, but I changed my mind.
Just like that? You wish to proceed to a court martial?
Yes, sir.
Well, on your head then, Private. Proceed.
Your Honor, Private Doss waves his morality at us like it's some kind of badge of honor. He flaunts his contempt by directly disobeying a series of direct orders from his commanding officer, when the very best of our young men are sacrificing their lives against...
You okay?
Yes.
You're still deliberating?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now you go take this in there.
I can't. Strictly military personnel.
Well, then you get one of them to take it
in. They ain't out to help. They're fixing to bury him.
There is only one question that any military court need ask of the accused. Do you deny disobeying Colonel Sangston's direct orders?
Well, do you, Private?
No, sir, I don't.
Why are you contesting it, then? Why is it so important to you, given your refusal to even touch a weapon, to serve in a combat unit?
Because when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, I took it personal. Everyone I knew was on fire to join up, including me. There were two men in my hometown. Declared 4F unfit, they killed themselves because they couldn't serve. I had a job in a defense plant. I could have taken a deferment, but that ain't right. It isn't right that other men should fight and die, that I would just be sitting at home safe. I need to serve. I got the energy and the passion to serve as a medic. Right in the middle with the other guys, no less danger, just while everybody else is taking life, I'm gonna be saving it. With the world so set on tearing itself apart, it doesn't seem like such a bad thing to me to want to put a little bit of it back together.
Sorry, sir. Nobody's allowed to
go. No, you don't understand. My son is the defendant.
I understand, sir, but nobody's allowed
to go. I have information.
While the sentiments expressed are laudable, the facts of the charge seem incontestable, so... What the hell is going on out there? Let him go. That's a Greek war uniform.
It is, sir. Sir, I need to show you this.
With respect, sir, you are no longer a member of the military. You are unable to attend this hearing. I'm sorry.
Is that truly the way it works, sir? You fight for your country, you lose so much that was dear to you, and then you're done with? The uniform's forgotten. You have no voice.
You were at least...
I was Sir Annabella Wood.
Twice decorated, I see.
Yes, sir.
I take it you are the private's father?
I am, sir. Thomas Doss.
Then, as a former military man, you know there are laws here.
Sir, I know the law, and I know my son is protected by those laws. They're framed in our Constitution. And I believe in them as he does. They're why I went and fought to protect them. At least that is what I thought I was doing, because if it wasn't for that, then I have no idea what the hell I was doing there, sir.
Thank you, Corporal Doss. Let me have the letter. You must go. The defendant's rights as a conscientious objector are protected by an act of Congress, and he cannot be compelled to waive those rights. That includes, in this case, his disobeying orders to bear arms. Signed, Brigadier General Musgrove, War Services Commander, Washington, D.C. Colonel?
I withdraw the charges, sir.
Then this case is dismissed. Private Doss, you are free to run into the hellfire of battle without a single weapon to protect yourself. You may resume your duties and begin training as a combat medic.
All right, guys, that's about it. Sorry I didn't have much for you. I had no real topics for you. I had attention was my last one, my last episode. I figured I'd put this together for you before I go ahead and pack it up for the season. So, if I haven't said already, I'll try to be back by October 1st or around with a new season, a new plan. Give myself about maybe couple weeks. Oh, I keep saying October 1st. I'm sorry. November 1st. That will give me a couple weeks to get my show in order. I'm going to have some new stuff coming out. I hope you guys stick around and hope you like it. Well, this is Jimmy James, Season 3, End, Bonus Episode 12. Peace out. And like always, take care of yourselves and one another.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg. I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives, and my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor code loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time or inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket at the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just say thank you and be on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to. This is Johnny English, and that was my perfect example of a few good men as Jack Nicholson should have played it, but hey, we're all not as perfect as us Englishmen.